Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ladies of Sosa podcast. My name is Sarah.
And my name is Christine.
And today we are talking about a hot topic in our community, but something that we practice as South Sudanese as well, and in different African cultures that we're going to touch on with the people in our panel. So we're going to talk about polygamy. Do you want to?
Yeah, and it was actually brought up in the last episode. If you haven't seen the last episode, please go and check out the diary episode. Yes, it was fire. It was one of our best episodes. And it's going to kind of like open up this conversation. So in today's conversation, we're going to be talking about polygamy versus two-parent households. So we're just going to, first of all, kind of discuss what polygamy even is. And it's something that I feel like it's mostly prevalent in the African culture. I don't think European people practice polygamy, not that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The Mormons do.
In the past?
They didn't practice. Mormons practice.
So do Muslims.
Muslims as well. Yeah. And Brugi, someone that's on our panel from last episode, she is actually Muslim, so she'll be able to speak to that. So without further ado, let's just jump into introducing our panel, and then we'll get right into the conversation. Brugi, you can go ahead and start.
Hi, I'm Brugi. I'm a data analyst in government public health, and then also I am Guinean American.
Guinea.
Hey everyone, Janet here. I am Ugandan. I'm born here in America, and I am a senior director at a nonprofit organization.
Willie
Lokiru. I don't know. I feel like I've said it all.
Treasury analyst.
Treasury analyst.
Tribe.
Didinga. Yeah.
Biggest boss.
The Didinga Hills. Okay. You know.
The gold mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Utah, though. I don't feel like I've brought it up before. I grew up in Utah, and there's amazing people there. Yeah. Great people.
What made
in
you
Utah.
Niggas go to the cold? Like, there's no camouflage.
What, Emmanuel?
There's no camouflage.
Go ahead, like, I'll answer the question.
Like, I didn't choose to, but I'm grateful for it.
Okay, he's a refugee.
Yeah. I mean, y'all stick out like a sore thumb. Wow,
that is not a compliment.
Okay, but I'm just kidding. All right. Next, we have Sudi. Sudi, introduce yourself. What tribe are you? All right, y'all. Get it together, guys.
What tribe are you? Where are you from?
Hello, I'm Sudi. I'm Sudanese, and I am from the Madi tribe, and I'm a cloud consultant. Yes.
Thank you for being here. And we have Emmanuel back again.
So when y'all wear all white in Utah, do y'all look like a Marlboro just freshly smoked?
Emmanuel, can you introduce yourself?
We're not doing this. Sorry. Emmanuel?
At this point, they know him.
Yo.
I know. I'm Emmanuel.
You should come with me to Utah.
Yeah, I know. I would love to go to Ice Giants. Ice.
Emmanuel. Okay, you know what? I'll introduce Emmanuel. So this is Emmanuel.
I'm sorry.
That's
a popsicle ass Negro.
Emmanuel Umar.
When you're wearing that outfit, you have to carry yourself with that
stature.
Stay in character.
I'd like to dedicate this comment to the snow Negroes that are out there surviving in an environment that is not necessary for you. It's like being in white America, just cold. Be weary of the snow.
Oh my goodness.
We love
Thank you,
cream.
Emmanuel. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Obviously, he's a comedian.
And
so.
Mr. Edward Mitri, go ahead.
That's how
Hi,
we
guys.
Feel.
My name is Edward. I'm a physical therapy student. Born in Omdurman, Khartoum, Sudan.
Okay.
Zande boy. First prince of South Sudan. If you ain't know, now you know.
Yes, and he'll break your baby mama's back.
I love it. It's a lot of color going on in that corner.
It's the best. We call this the pro black corner.
Okay, I love that. Y'all are taking me out.
If it's snowing, I am not going.
Period.
Damn. They're coming for you. Okay. They're coming for you, Willie.
That's a clip.
Why do you guys think I moved to Texas?
Thank you.
Well, good.
Did you move to Texas for white women? Or like, did you move to Texas specifically for like sisters? Because like...
He said be specific.
Because like, you're in Dallas.
Did you just not hear what he just said?
Dallas is not known for they black women.
Like, he's not paying dowry
Texas
for a white woman.
Texas in general.
If you watched the last episode, okay?
I love my black woman. Okay.
Houston, yes. Houston.
All right. Let's get into the topic. Because we having too much fun right now.
Right.
So just to get into it, polygamy versus two-parent households. Have any of you, I feel like with the older generation, maybe like your grandparents, like it's more, it was more common then, but have any of you, like to your knowledge, had anyone in your family that's like practiced polygamy?
Yeah. I mean, I knew a 9-year-old that just had like a kid about like 4 or 5 years ago. He passed away about like, I think 3 years ago. And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
My grandfather had over 10 wives.
Wow.
My grandpa had a couple wives too.
Yeah. Put it in that work. No Viagra. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. All right. Yeah.
My grandpa had 25 wives and 105 kids.
Repeat that, sis.
Yeah, one time.
25 wives, 105 kids. My dad has 104 brothers and sisters.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
No hip surgeries.
Yeah. So it's a big thing in my family, or was. But yeah, my dad has just my mom.
Oh, so,
but, yeah.
So you wouldn't be a first wife? You
know, no, I would be the one and only.
There it is.
Okay, yeah. we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
And you're also Muslim. Is it just like a like your culture from your country?
It's culture and then also religion. In the Muslim religion, you can marry more than one wife. They say up to four. My grandpa obviously didn't went way past four, but it's supposed to be up to four. And you have to treat them all the exact same to be able to marry more than one wife.
Also, he's a provider.
Yeah, you have to, if you buy one wife a car, then you have to buy all the other three wives a car.
Damn.
So, this leads to a comment that was made by Francis Ngannou. So there was a clip that he was talking about how...
on the podcast?
When he was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast.
Yeah.
But he was specifically talking about how like dudes that were in doing polygamy, especially back home, they do it because it's a gift, because they have so much money that they're allowed to be able to gift these families a stable household and income that could really help them that they wouldn't have gotten before.
Yes.
And so if I got the money and I make $100 million, I mean, that's five families that's going to end up
polygamy in Africa, most marriage in Africa for men was a responsibility. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to have fun. Even like to get married, even to have multiple wives, most of the time, in the many situations, it wasn't like, oh, I like those women so much. Right. It was a situation that you have to first, for example, like when a guy in a community was successful, he need to get married from wife in a different neighborhood around the community. So to give people many chances. Because if you get married here, other community will be like, oh, he doesn't care about us. He should have married the kids of us. Right. And they will want you to marry the girl from that community.
Wow.
So then you find out people that are getting married just for opportunity, to give, opportunity for community. Why? Because, unlike here, when you have a daughter there, all your life is a worry. You don't know how she's going to end up. Mm. You don't know. You're worried if ever she's going to have a roof or to have somebody to take care. And then there's this guy that going to take care of her. You don't care if she's the fifth or the tenth wife.
Wow.
Take it, bro. And that's how some people were getting a lot of wives just to like, you know, give chance to community. And also one thing that was very important, if your brother or your family member passed away and left a wife with children,
you had to take
one of you guys have to take that wife. Like, whether you like it or not, somebody have to take it.
But you're not going to sleep with the wife, though.
No,
right?
You'll sleep with.
No, I mean,
you'll take the wife.
Yeah, I'm just taking it and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to take care of you and make sure.
Yeah, but you can't take a wife and just not sleep with.
Yeah, you can. You can kill both.
You're going to take. Why? Because, and the reason why they were doing that, the family was doing that, because they didn't want a wife to live with their kids and get out there, get married with somebody that will mistreat those kids.
Right.
Because with the situation being very complicated, I mean, this guy is going to work hard and then maybe get home, barely have food for 2-3 people. Mm-hmm. And then if he has a kid, it's for the three. The other guy, kid, it's not my kids, right? So the family didn't want that to happen. So they wanted to keep the wife and the kids into the family. So somebody has to step up and take that as a responsibility.
Wow. I'm glad that in America.
Yeah. So polygamy most of the time wasn't by choice.
Right.
Yeah, it was my responsibility.
Yeah, I know what podcast you're talking about too. Like, and it's like, if you're influential in the community, like you have to get away from that community. Mm-hmm. So you have, so you maintain a good relationship, get away from the other community, like to maintain a great relationship. So everybody feels like you're going to look out for everybody's mm-hmm. best.
That's, you know, yeah. best interest. That's actually best exactly.
So it's yeah. like, so it's not just a, transactional. It's like,
it's peace. It's almost
yeah.
like
yeah. Yeah. you're building relationships.
Yeah, yeah. That's political. Actually exactly how my grandpa was.
Yeah,
he had like wives from different communities, so that mm-hmm. every time he went to like a new community, they would give like. Mm-hmm. Also, he had a lot of money and had a lot of land. So mm-hmm. when he would go to like a different city or different community, like a family would be like, "Oh, we want you to take our mm-hmm. daughter." So yeah. and he kept peace like that. So mm-hmm. he had. That's kind of why he had a lot of wives.
Grandpa yeah. was a rolling stone for the community, you know what I'm saying?
So I think that's a good way to frame the conversation as far as when we talk about polygamy from the South Sudanese or African perspective, mm-hmm. the lens. It's more so like if you have all these resources, it'd be selfish if you keep it to yourself. Right. You have to extend yeah. it to mm-hmm. to like different people, different women mm-hmm. in your community, like the network. And so do you guys feel like polygamy, would you guys be open to polygamy?
No.
Okay, great. Let's start. Let's start with Edward.
I couldn't do it.
Why not?
How I was raised in a two-parent household. Mm. And seeing my parents love and how they loved on each other was honestly the best example of love to me, honestly. And I feel like one woman is already enough. If you're adding more to that, I couldn't do it. Okay. I feel mm-hmm. like I could just handle just one. But that's just how I was raised, and so.
As a person who lived in, like, a two-parent household, I would say, like, if you have the means mm-hmm. to be able to help other families out, and, like, you still will stay, obviously, consistent with your main family, yeah. they're living the best life they can. They're getting private school. They're getting everything that's necessary.
That's true.
And you're still staying with your family and seeing the kids.
But when you say main family, I thought every family is supposed to be treated equal. Like, every
family. I know, yeah, you can have a main family.
I think South Sudanese culture is the same. Like, you have to
I'm going
to
have a main. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have
No, I think your first wife is treated better.
I'm going to have first wife. I'm going to have only one. Why had best?
So.
Period.
Two or three.
I couldn't do it. I can't. I mean, maybe back home.
Oh,
no,
you couldn't.
I could not.
Okay.
My brothers, where's your ancestral pride?
No, like it's like
We're in America.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, these are expensive.
Like, women.
You
women
feminist
are very,
Negroes.
Women are very demanding. Like, you know what I mean? They want you to be communicative with them all the time, be in touch with their with everything that's going on with them. You know, like you gotta text them, you gotta get them gifts, you gotta take them out on dates. I don't think I could do 2 times that. Like, I need my personal time.
Like, yeah. You're saying that, like, right now, it's required more from the African
back home,
man.
It makes sense. But, like, here, like,
because back home, all you got to do is drop it off, and then they get everything else done in the house.
Yeah, so and then, back home, it's in South Sudan, it's not just about, like, love and dates and stuff. It's more so, like, I need a husband to take care of me, to give me somewhere to stay,
yeah,
give
exactly.
me food, take care mm-hmm. of my kids, or, you know, mm-hmm. so they don't really care about all the roses and stuff like
yeah,
that. Like, you know, so you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So back home, it makes sense, but here it just doesn't. Like,
well, yeah. I do have a community of uncles here that all have second or third wives, and they all live here in, ooh. Like, Irving. And sorry,
is that legal?
Are
you snitching?
It is illegal.
Yes.
Go ahead. You know, and
detail.
You know, it's it's interesting because a lot of times they live in small quarters, and you know, when I see it in Africa, a lot of times it's bigger houses. People have their side. You know, living here where you're living in kind of in a 2-bedroom apartment and you're going from bedroom to bedroom. It's just not something that I would be comfortable dealing or being in that situation because of what I've seen. And even though religiously and in my culture, like I said, they say that you're supposed to treat them equally, I will say from what I've seen, a lot of times they'll be with someone and they'll be with that person. They've been with them since they're young. So, like, let's say a 50-year-old man and a 50-year-old woman. And then the second wife, they'll go marry a 24-year-old girl. And so, of course, they're going to, that's the new shiny prize. So, of course, the 50-year-old woman is kind of left out in the dust and they're treating the second woman a lot better and taking her on dates and doing all that kind of stuff. And so, for me, I feel like it's super unfair how I've seen it done. And also just to be doing it here, unless you're super rich, it's just not feasible, in my opinion.
I mean, you could do it back home. Like, that's what I see a lot of uncles do. You know, I'm not going to call any of them.
I have a question. Do you think that curbs cheating, though? Like, the fact that they are able to go and take another wife? Do you think that they just stay with their wives? Or do you feel like...
Yes, and that's a thing. Because to me, it feels almost like it's an accepted cheating, you know, like you marry.
How is it cheating?
It's not cheating, of course, technically, because, yes, you're marrying someone else. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like a lot of times that first wife, you've spent so much time with her. And then now you're like, oh, well, the religion says I can go marry someone else. So let me go find someone else to curb your cheating or to get that new young thing. To me, it still feels like, for me personally, I would still feel like you're low-key cheating on me.
That's a cop-out, for real.
It's a cop-out, you know, like you're not. Even when you mentioned some of them do have, or they'll have the younger wife in Africa and she's living in a nice house and getting money from her older husband here and getting to live her life while you and that first wife is suffering here.
I can send you back home.
So are you required, like, as the woman in your religion to allow him, like, you can't, even if you don't agree?
So no. So technically you are supposed to ask for your wife's permission and she's supposed to say yes or no. However, a lot of these people don't ask and they just will go and do it and then be like, oh, by the way, I went to Africa and found a second wife, or, you know, because they know their first wife more than likely is not. And then because of religion and because of just the African culture, a lot of times these first wives won't leave or divorce their husbands. And so you're kind of stuck, unhappy. And to me, it's just, it's not something personally that I would want to practice.
So you don't think that, like,
that's horrible.
It's not.
So, like, you're right. If they didn't ask her, that's obviously spineless, and they're not doing it by the right way or the traditional way.
Right.
If you're doing it traditionally, you're being honest and she's okay with it, that's cool.
Right.
But then,
right.
I mean, that's also an acceptable way of, like, a lot of the times when they're unhappy, they tend to, like, they themselves leave and seek other help and validation outside the relationship. So a lot of the times I feel like it's an acceptable way to, like, have an open relationship, which a lot of these uncles really, truly want. That's what they really
want. That's what they want, yeah.
Because, like, a lot of these dudes, you'll see them be with this girl for till she's 50, but have they been cheating for half of the relationship? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they have.
So you guys think it opens the door to just having women, like, willy-nilly?
I mean, they've been having
women. Because you can have multiple wives. It's like, why not have a girlfriend, too?
I would disagree, because I think like, obviously you have to be able to provide for these women to be able to be polygamous back home, at least. Mm-hmm. So, are you willing to be with a poor man and be the only one for him? Or are you willing to be number 3, 4, 5 with a rich nigga?
But also, it doesn't have to be a poor man to be the only girl.
You want your cake and you want to eat it too.
No, but I do think you could still have a good man.
Yeah, you can.
That's faithful.
And be the only one.
And be the only one to, yeah, be the only wife.
Yeah, but you got to have that fire.
So you're looking for a unicorn.
That's the problem. Why does it have to be a unicorn?
There's no such thing as a unicorn, bro. It's out there, for sure.
Yeah, because you that. Negro talking about, it's out there. Me.
What was Edward, what was your point? What were you trying to say?
No, what they were saying, like, it's definitely possible for it. Money makes the world go round, but it's not everything. Like, there's emotions that need to be taken care of, a heart that person has beneath their chest that's beating. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of more, it's more to it. Oh, man, please.
He can have all that.
But no, but it's the truth, though. Because if you think you can go into a relationship with just only money,
and
you're lost.
Wow,
you're lost.
But I do agree with the point, though, in terms of, like, polygamy. If you are going to do it, you have to have the money to do it. There's no other way around it, because you are taking care of multiple households.
Those are the only people who do it. Are the people who have money.
I mean, we got Section 8 polygamists. Let's not pretend.
But in American culture, they're starting to talk about polygamy too. But I think from the podcast where, what was it? Shannon Sharp. Yeah. He was saying that over here in America, they're doing it just like to just have multiple women, but they're not, like, respecting everything that polygamy is. It's like being able to take care of every woman equally. And it's not just about being able to sleep with multiple women. Yeah. It's about, like, helping the community out. And I think it was something about, like, if your brother's wife passes away, you could come in and marry your brother's wife to keep all the children within one family and to be able to, like, provide for those kids too. So I feel like in African culture, it's a lot deeper than just, like, okay, I just want to have multiple women. Right. So
And I think that part too, but, like, the conversation is usually hypersexualized when you read the comments.
Hormone driven.
And when it's like in the American context, it's like, yes, we should be able to have multiple women And it's like more so about like the woman like having that access.
Yeah, and they
access.
Can't even afford one woman over here, but they're trying to have women. But okay, so I'm like, you have to, if you polygamy, you have to afford all your women, do the same thing. Like,
do the
so
same
it's
thing,
like,
And I would like to add to that, because like an example that we've seen here in like pop culture is Nick Cannon, right? Having multiple, you know, baby mothers and having multiple children, but he's not marrying these women.
Yes.
And basically, like, these women are raising these kids on their own because he's like still working, doing what he needs to do, popping in and out. Mm-hmm. But you're not like there.
But a lot of people will be like, oh, well, he can take care of all those kids, so let him do it.
He's financially.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a difference in terms of like how you even saying like living in the same quarters, right? And being there and still being attentive to the household.
Being present.
Yeah. Being present. Not just, oh, let me just wire you some money.
Pop in and out.
I'm not even marrying you.
Right. That brings me to my next question. Yeah. Which of the two do you think lends to a productive, healthy household for children and families?
A two-parent
out
household.
Of the two.
Two-parent household. Two-parent household.
Depending on how healthy, like we'll say both parents debatable. Are healthy. That's and, like, they're mentally stable.
Okay. Okay. Edward has to leave, so I really want to get his take on this.
Okay, I'll say in a polygamous relationship, there's a lot, of course, more heads, so if there's more moms in that aspect, I guess. But when it comes to a two-parent household, it's the same faces you see every day. You know, of course, who your mom and dad are, for sure, for certain. Mm-hmm. And I feel like within that dynamic in a nuclear household, it's a lot more intimate. It's a lot more inclusive.
Stability.
It's stable, you know, with two parents. But that's just me.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Thank
but
you.
I feel like.
Thank you so thank much. You so Edward has to run out to work. Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate you.
I love ladies of Salsa.
We love everybody here. Real quick before you go, I want to say this on camera. Edward is a personal trainer. We're going to do a program in January. So pop off the new year, all of your new year fitness goals. Yeah. We're going to do it at the lake or somewhere, and we're going to all get a ticket for him to support his business.
If you're in Dallas, hit us up.
Yeah, in January, flyer coming soon. Yeah. Bye, bro. We love you.
Bye.
And we just switched him out with Chris. Yeah. Chris tapped in for us.
Chris, say hi and introduce yourself real quick.
You already know, man. My name is Chris Allen, a.k.a. the Black and Bolivian Stallion. I'm back on the panel.
I like that.
We love that.
I like the conversation. I got some shit to say, but you know.
Okay. Oh, well, answer the question. Which one do you think is lending to a better, stable household out of the two, polygamy or a two-parent household?
Well, normally I would say a two-person household, right? Mm. Because I feel like that's, well, as far as Americans, that's healthy. But I see the positives of having a polygamous relationship.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I'm going to put it like this. We say it takes a village to raise a child sometimes. And so whenever you have that village there with you, and you have your siblings there with you, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a great environment to be in. I didn't have, my brothers and sisters, I didn't have cousins. But I had my brothers and sisters. I had my boy Emmanuel, and his family became my family. So whenever I was going through middle school and high school, I had people there, right? And then, and his mom treated me like a son, and my mom vice versa. And you see what that can bring. You know what I'm saying?
A two-parent household.
No, that's not necessarily a two-parent household, but like...
Like a village?
Like just having people there.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't have a... Like me, I didn't know my dad's side of the family. But knowing Emmanuel and getting to know his family, they became my family, like as I was saying. And so if I needed help or if I needed something, like for example, let's say I was late for school. Emmanuel's mom, even my boy, shout out my boy John Bo, his mom would take me to school. You know what I'm saying? Out of the love. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like just having a family there, whether it's polygamous or not, but I feel like polygamous might be a little bit better because it's more. It's beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, Edward made a great point. Yeah. Go ahead. Edward made a great point about, like, the mothers. You have multiple mothers. Mm-hmm. If it's done right, then, yeah, you do have multiple mothers. If you look, because I think sometimes we look at it like, oh, it's just every wife for themselves. Mm-hmm. But now you have five moms and, you know, five people who are going to cook for you, five people who are going to, like, you know, build you.
Yeah, and at the same time,
if they have good intentions.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm right. Right.
You gotta understand. You gotta understand what economic state we are. We're in America. I feel like that'd be beneficial 100%. Yeah.
Well, I will say that, you know, I mentioned that my dad grew up in a household where his dad had a huge compound, and then every wife basically had a little small house in there. Mm-hmm. So they grew up, he grew up, you know, and I asked him, you know, did you feel like that was a good environment for him to grow up in? And he said, yeah, he, on some hand he did, because he had like multiple stepmoms and a whole bunch of brothers and sisters. And, you know, like if they woke up in the morning, you know, they would have breakfast for all of them, or, you know, there was always someone around to do something. But at the same time, one dad with all these different families, he didn't feel like he got much one-on-one time with his dad. You know what I mean? Like, he felt like he didn't, there, like his dad always had a different family to go to, or his dad always had something to do because he had to upkeep all these different families.
Yeah.
So for compared to with us, where it's just him and my mom, we have more of a one-on-one relationship. You know, we can have those type of conversations. This is the only family that he's maintained. And even where you guys mentioned also in our culture slash religion, they do marry. A lot of times if your sibling dies, you marry their wife. And his brother died, and they suggested that he marry his brother's wife. And he was like, I don't want that, because I grew up in that culture and I grew up in that. And for me, he did the opposite of what his dad did, because he felt like it was a lot and he didn't get that one on one with his dad. So I feel like it depends on the situation. Of course, there's good benefits to it, because yes, you have a lot of family around. But as far as your parent, where you want your parent to be around and you want that one on one with your parent, there's so many people, so many things happening. You don't get that a lot of times.
Yeah.
And to add to what you said about even Willie, how you said the intention, because we know just husband, wife, there's tension there. There's arguments there. Like, you see that. So imagine that with one husband and multiple wives.
Yes.
Like, it's not always going to be peachy to where it's this big village community and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Like, there's still going to be issues,
yes,
but issues that are like beyond the standard.
Yes.
Right.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
Catch 22.
And I agree with that, man. But I feel like this also, we have more than two people, there's more perspectives. There's more perspectives on the situation.
Mm.
So you might see it as, you know, let's say you were spending, hypothetically, and I would love you, a part of my wife trio, whatever.
Right? That's but,
so let's say we're having a
you said trio, so three.
Yeah, yeah, just three. That's three. That's plenty.
But anyway, proposition.
But, no. If I have my money up. Right. If I have my money up and I have a wife trio.
Wait, if you had your money up, you would take.
Of course,
Janet.
Look at Janet, beautiful, successful.
I appreciate the offer.
First wife,
better be the first.
First wife or second or first?
I don't. I've met Janet. She's phenomenal. She's a great girl, smart girl. I don't know how she get down.
Where's
I gotta
she
know
gonna
how she
fit
get
in the lineup? Basically,
I guarantee you, she's definitely like
queen bee.
She's like second, at least.
I don't know
how she get down.
Okay. She definitely won.
She good enough to be part of your team.
Top two.
I have a question though. Do you want to be the first one, or do you want to be the third one?
I don't want to be the third one.
Like the third one, the last one. Because you're going to be the prize. You get treated like, you get whatever you want.
The last one is treated as a prize? I thought it was the first one that gets treated.
It's the first one.
No. The first one is like, I need a second wife. You know,
Uh-huh.
Here's your problem is, sometimes you get the second wife to relieve your first wife. Because she might be going through a lot. And you know, she needs some help with a younger person to be able to do everything you need. And plus, sometimes, I think a lot of these people will have only babies with the first wife, and the second wife is just there to be like a caretaker.
But I want to touch on the cons too that Rugi was bringing up. One is jealousy. Like,
I was about to say.
Between the women,
crazy.
That's going to be something that comes up that can create tension, that can affect the kids. Like, if you don't like one particular wife, you might take that out on the kids. And the last thing I want to say as far as the cons is like what she was saying with like the children not being able to build like a strong bond with their father because he has so many other families.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that is like, it's hurtful to children. And
but it's
I've
the same thing as being a rich kid.
Or with the siblings, because the moms are like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah,
exactly.
That happens a lot.
No,
exactly.
Here's the problem
with
that.
But is jealousy more like of like the, like, us, like our modern society, how we work, or is it?
It's no. Would that exist? It's a natural human.
Naturally, it's
but you have a rivalry with your brothers and sisters all the time, anyway.
Because it's emotion. Like I think there's still emotion a part of it. Like I don't think it's transactional. Like you're having kids with this person. Like they're spending time with you because, like you said, like they have to treat each wife equally. Yeah. So
and they don't. Problem. And I've seen it.
I'm trying to look at it like as like a young girl in South Sudan who's getting married to a man who has money.
Right?
Would I be necessarily jealous? I'm being taken care of. Like I know what it is.
Women
you know?
Are competitive naturally, but sir, and I feel like it makes the woman become hyper aware of what he's doing in his other families for those other wives,
and
which could even if you like her initially, it could create a bit of resentment or jealousy. Or you know, I feel like he did this for this woman's child, or I feel like that particular child seems to be his favorite. He takes that one around.
Okay, I can see it that way.
And
that happens.
Now everybody's trying to get rid of that kid. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I can see that.
Because, like, do you have your mom's back or do you ignore her and go do and just hang out with your brothers from your father?
Here's my biggest problem with loyalty. Y'all keep saying that, like the rich, like, it's the same thing for rich kids. Their fathers will work so much that they don't see their father. Don't see them around. Like it's the same thing that it is for.
But at least they know that the dad is not going hanging out with
right with
kids.
The other kids.
But I want to keep and it polygamy and
I think that's what Emmanuel's trying to say. It mirrors like American society too. Like because like we say it can cause hostility and resentment and jealousy because you're not seeing you have so many kids, you don't have time to spend with one. Mm-hmm. But if you're a rich person that's always traveling or like you know working all the time, that also creates hostility. So it's kind of
to what Sarah's
because
saying.
Because you could be rich and traveling. It's different than having multiple wives and multiple
But if you know you're doing it for the community, the betterment of the village, can that change?
Like, but I will say from what I have seen, and like I said, I have a whole community here. It does. It's not about that because I think a lot of the kids feel like, oh, you're taking away from me and going to your other kid. And then a lot of times the wives do create tension because naturally you're going to be jealous, oh, why haven't you spent time with me? And the kids are going to naturally take their mom's side. Mm-hmm. So it causes a lot of tension with, even in my culture, they ask like, are you siblings? Are you same mom or same dad?
Wow.
It's a whole thing, you know, like my dad will say, oh, this is my same mom's sibling, you know, because there's a whole tension of this is my sibling with the same mom, mm-hmm. but this is my sibling with the same dad. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that in itself, the moms a lot of times not on purpose, but, you know, think about it. Like just you five women vying for the same man's attention. You go buy this kid a bike. Why hasn't my kid gotten a bike? You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
So
if I'm the first wife and I've been here for 20 years, now you're having a wife here for the next wife, the little next little hot thing.
Is it fair to critique polygamy from the worst version of it? The same way
we talked about the pros. We're looking at both sides.
Critique
the worst version of like a good quote unquote two family household.
But you just took it to the extreme, saying a rich man who's traveling and not there in the household too.
I feel like this is what Emmanuel's trying to say. It's like this, right? Coming from the worst part. What about a great dad? Sometimes I might not necessarily be a great one father, but like you were saying, the mother might be like in her kid's head, like, hey, you know, your brothers and sisters are getting this and you're not. Mm. So what if the father is good but the mother isn't?
I think children see that naturally, though. Even when she brought up Nick Cannon, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a problem later on in life.
Now, like, so they don't.
All
they don't
those broken
it.
Homes.
But he's not even married.
He's not married.
And that's making it worse.
That's
worse.
Like, that's illegal. But
can I get dark if you guys allow me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. I'm about to go dark.
Okay. Let's go.
I mean, we all dark, so I mean.
I feel like in South Sudan, polygamy and bride price is part of the reason that we have. We have war, and it's because like we're talking about, it's like only 60-year-olds have the money or can afford to get multiple wives and all of that because they have the wealth, you know. And then in South Sudan you have a bunch of young men sexually frustrated watching their crush get married to some 60-year-old, and then you give them a gun and you're like, hey, you want some cows? Go to the next village, shoot some people, take some cows, then you can get married. And so we have like polygamy and dowry prices are part of the reason that like there's so much hatred in South Sudan because the villages raid each other like crazy. Mm-hmm. And like, if you read about it, there's all here and there, you'll hear about like, a raid could take like, one person could go on a raid by themselves, or it could even be like 500 to 600 men going together to raid the next village. Because these young men just want to be able to afford to get a woman, to be able to marry. And because they can't afford it, because all the old men have all the money, and they trade each other's kids. Like, so you have a situation where villages hate each other because they're always raiding each other for cattle,
yeah,
to be able to afford the bride price. And so
you think that also fuels like a lot of the trafficking? So with South Sudanese women, especially those that go up north and go mm-hmm. to the Arab nations, you see a lot of women being taken to those areas. I think that also fuels that.
No, but I feel like
our women are almost for sale in the views of the rest of the world.
But I disagree, because like I feel like South Sudanese, you've heard about lost boys, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't hear about lost girls, because because I feel like these 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, whatever, these old men that are wealthy, they decided to keep the young girls and had the boys like go to refugee camps.
Yeah, and he's talking about like the clashes between clans and like villages, because there is like stuff, conflict that arises when you go and steal cows.
Yeah,
and that happens a lot.
It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Like you're more likely to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that.
Oh, they take it serious. Then you are to just go, cattle from someone. They will come and find you.
Yeah, they'll fight
their
whole life for it.
Like, yeah,
we got.
But here's the thing: there's people who are very good at it, just like any profession in life.
Yeah,
there's a LeBron James of stealing cattle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's crazy.
And
no, that's true. No, it's true.
Sudanese nigga with an AK talk about.
Like,
no,
yeah.
That's part.
If you ever listen to some of your uncles, they'll tell you like the legend.
Yeah.
And that's part of the conflict that they don't hear on the news.
Yeah,
is like exactly. The conflicts and the wars, like, and the people that die because of like cattle stealing or this.
Yeah,
clan
that's where it comes from.
Cattle.
Like, if you hear about the hatred about different villages in South Sudan or different tribes, like a lot of it comes from the fact that cattle is a way of maintaining wealth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have a bunch of young men frustrated because they can't afford to get a wife.
Yeah.
Because all men are getting all the wives, and they're getting young girls as their wives. And then they trade each other's daughters to each other, like, you know, for money, like it's nothing. And you have a bunch of frustrated young men, and they're like, if you actually want to get married, here's a gun. So go to the other village, go get something.
So do you not think that they do that to the West too? So you do not think that like they trade those young girls?
Well, why are you making it comparable? You're making it like a
comparison. No, I'm not uh-huh. comparing. I'm saying this is what leads to that specific conversation where we have a lot of young girls being trafficked. I'm not comparing the two at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that this is another reason why this is being done. If a lot of these young girls are able to be sold, what makes you think that they're not going to sell them to a man that's from the North? What makes you think they're not going to sell it to the white man? If the white man's paying me more, and this Janoob is not going to pay me enough.
But they're not doing that in South Sudan.
But they're not. Like,
I think we got to focus on
diaspora. No.
Okay.
Because we know more about
I'll go back to that. I feel like we have polygamy, right, versus monogamy societies. Mm-hmm. In polygamy societies, women are very valuable because there's not a lot of women just hanging around. Like, everybody wants to marry these women. Like, you'll find even in situations where, like, a woman has lost her husband and she has kids, there's plenty of men ready to marry her and bring her into her family. And then we come into monogamous societies, like in America or whatever. You guys are going to hate me for this, but the prize now is the men. Because,
Christ.
listen, hear me out.
You and Diaz, that's what we want to hear.
Hear me out before you jump into judgment. It's because now that you're only allowed to have one woman, as a woman, you don't have a bunch of men coming to propose to you, like you know, mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. back home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like, maybe I should be more specific. Wealthy men are the prize. So women want to be with a man who's wealthy, and so that's their target.
Okay.
And
he's spinning.
you disagree.
I disagree, and I feel like that. Okay, if you say wealthy man, that's anywhere. That's not just in America. Whether that's a polygamous society or a monogamy society.
No, of but course, do you not agree? Like in a polygamous society, women are very valuable because there's not a lot of them hanging around.
Like, no, because
not a lot of men can afford to have a wife. The wealthy men get all the wives. If I'm wealthy enough and I come to a village and I can afford all the women in that village,
yeah,
what are the men gonna do? Like, what are the young men gonna do in that?
I will say that I disagree because okay, yes, let's say in a polygamous society, yes, maybe a man will. There is a wealthy man that comes around that. But a lot, it's not like every single man there is just wealthy and able to afford 5-6 different wives. You know what I mean? That's a very mm-hmm. kind of rare occasion. So I don't see that just because, you know, and not only that, but I feel like if anything, if it is a society of all these wealthy men taking up all the women, there's not a lot of women to go around. So wouldn't women be more... Well, I guess that's kind of what you're saying. Women are more
valuable,
right? But at the same time, I don't feel like men. That means men are the prize specifically.
I'm talking about like that's the opposite of that in societies where it's monogamous. I'm saying like polygamous societies, women are very valuable. That's why
So you're saying monogamous societies, men are valuable.
Rich men are valuable.
Rich men are
in
wealthy
men in monogamous societies.
Yeah, I think that's valuable.
Yeah, because like as a woman, you get one man.
Oh, I see.
But
what you're saying.
In general, women want a wealthy man.
Yeah,
you know.
I think rich.
I understand what he's saying. He's saying because in what we have like a two parent household or two parent like situation, mm-hmm. There's not enough wealthy men to go around. But when it comes to polygamy, so many women can marry.
A one man.
Mm-hmm. So I understand.
Well, Willie, which one do you prefer? Like, which one would you prefer for yourself? If you don't mind sharing,
I prefer monogamous societies because I feel like South Sudan, that's part of the issue that's causing all of that like hatred, because you have a bunch of young men who have nothing, who can't afford it. Yo, Emmanuel, picture this. Chris, picture this. Your crush you're growing up with, like, you know, you're a kid, you're like, I'm going to marry her. And then you get to around 20 and a 60-year-old can afford it. And they're like, do you have the cows? And you're like, no, I'm just a young man.
This is from Holmes.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
And then they're like, all right.
It's a combination.
They're like, yo, so like, if you want her, here's an AK. Go to the next village, get some cows, and you can afford it.
I want to know which one would you prefer out of the two? Because I really want to keep it focused on the topic, I feel I don't want us to like veer too far off.
Yeah, because I feel like what we're speaking about goes back to a lot of like back home traditions and cultures. So like looking at it for us within the diaspora, me personally, I would prefer a monogamous two-parent household, like, off the rip. But I think you mentioned it earlier in terms of within our society, the perspective of polygamous relationships and the intention behind it, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, it's like he said, like people want to be in open relationships or they just, you know, want to have multiple people for like sexual reasons. But that foundation that comes from back home customs is not transferring over to within the States. So I think that for me personally, yes, I would prefer the monogamous relationship, but I don't think that it's impossible for people to be in polygamous relationships in America. I think it's just the way that we go about it, right? And like how it's glorified, that I think
I want to take it to Sudi too, because we haven't heard from you the whole episode. And which of the two do you prefer? And don't feel pressure to like confirm to anybody else's opinion. Which of the two do you prefer? And which of the two do you think would lend to a productive, like stable household, especially if children are involved?
I would say I love the monogamy, you know, but at the same time, I also do believe in polyamorous. And I believe that, I believe, you know, I believe if there's two people and they have an understanding of each other in a relationship, and let's say they want to spice things up in their relationship, you know, you could, you know, have a, you know, conversation with your partner and maybe, you know, try to date somebody, like, you know, to date the both of you guys, you know? Mm. And, you know, it was at least a lot. And
so
I feel
you
like
would want to be married and then open it up to every now and then an additional person, but you guys are committed? Or would you entertain someone asking you to be like their second or third? Or
oh, no, no, no. Like, so I have to be the main one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not like, you know, first, second wife, that's not my thing. Okay. But I feel like, you know, the polyamorous way of like just, you know, adding somebody in the relationship, and at any time we can drop.
So you wouldn't
them.
Have like
an open relationship.
That's part of it.
You know,
yeah.
Just like spice things up.
Nah, nah. I like
what
you're saying.
Yeah, you get what
no,
I'm
yeah,
saying.
It's like, yeah,
and I'm speaking off of experience.
Like,
you know,
so you want to be the wife,
yeah.
And then you want to date other people with your husband.
Every now and then,
exactly. Because I've dated a couple before. And honestly,
oh, let me know.
Yeah, so like I said, I've dated a couple before, and one thing, like, you know how Christine, you were saying about sometimes, you know, it can open up doors to, like, you know, the person going behind your back or cheating on you, other stuff like that. But I've seen them respect each other, and the man never talked to me without his man. I mean, without his woman's, you know, like, what's it called, respects, or, you know, they always kept, like, everything was always centered around them and, like, knowing and, like, you know, being trustworthy towards each other, you know?
So, yeah, you've seen it work and you feel like it could work.
Yeah.
And add to that, I think,
with the right people that are higher conscious. Yes.
I think that
you have to have that conversation.
That is, like, the framework of what we perceive, like, poly relationships to be in America, not more so, like, how you were speaking to earlier. Yeah. So, I think, you know, going from that perspective, that changes, I guess, the way that we define it.
Define it.
And it's maybe more modernized, but I think that, that's a different take.
Would anybody else on the panel be
to
open
that.
To that type of arrangement?
I think
just
with gentle,
I think
honesty.
I think we should take a poll for all the women.
I think
having multiple.
Well, like what she just propositioned is like her preferred way of like, all right, I want to be in a two-parent, or, you know, have my husband, but I want that option to be there for us to date other people.
I think that that is a fun way because in let's be honest, an African thing, it benefits the man because, yeah, the man gets to, you know, enjoy as many women as possible. If we're going to be in a polyamorous where I also get to enjoy, then of course,
exactly,
that's
we
different.
Both benefit.
Yeah. And I also feel like if I were to ever be in a polygamous relationship, it would have to be with a man that is very wealthy. Then I don't mind being the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Look at that big ass.
Because also, I like that. I like
then
that.
You know, like I'm
it
I'm
has
very
to
much,
benefit
it
woman.
Has to benefit me. But if I'm just gonna be sitting around being, you know, then no, absolutely not.
Ooh,
but if,
yeah.
gonna,
like,
if I'm gonna also
like
benefit,
that.
Then
like
yes,
that.
I will
and
be,
have a little boyfriend on the
and
side
and have a little man on the side.
Period.
But that's a problem. The men
is not
exactly, and that's a problem.
I
want to finish my point. This is a problem. The men never want to agree when it comes to the women having it on her terms. You guys are only okay with it when it's on your terms of course, oh, I get to have five different wives and I get to sleep with this one today and sleep with that one tomorrow and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Of course you're going to be
are you
happy
dowry?
With it. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, okay.
Oh!
Wow, you're paying dowry, but guess what? If I'm sitting here having these kids and cooking for you and all that, you're getting a lot out of this relationship also from my side of things.
Wait, don't you get kids also?
Yeah, but guess what? I have to suffer to actually
suffer,
have them. Yes, you get to do the fun part, which is just, you know.
Say something, bro. I agree with her.
Oh, come on.
Because I'd rather know, for me, I said this every episode. I feel like every episode I've been on, I feel like I said the same thing. Marriage is not what it was back in the day. It's not. So I'd rather you do your thing, me do my thing. And I don't, but I'll tell you like one thing, I don't want to know about
ooh,
whoever you
don't
want to with.
Know at all.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, if you want to do what you want to do, do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And if it could come together and be happy, I would love that.
So you would be in an open relationship.
I'd be an open relationship, but I'm saying, if you know, she got sister wives, blase, blase, and she want to go and do her side thing, cool, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want him coming home like, oh, she did this, that, and the third. So I feel like I agree with her because I don't think marriage is what it was. And if we're going to switch it up, yo, I'd rather it be like that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about
this
all
question. Does polygamy benefit the woman or the man more?
The man.
The man.
The woman.
Sure. For sure, the man.
For sure, the man.
I think for sure the man.
I would say the man for sure.
Yeah. It benefits the man
for polygamy. I think it benefits the woman more because
no, nah, man. How?
Why does it benefit the woman more?
Because
we live in a society where women are very valuable.
You don't have to deal with that man constantly, and you could do whatever you really want. You have free reign in a society that normally doesn't give you free reign. So now you can do, you can have your side nigga. Because like a lot of the times with these polygamous relationships, they have side dudes. It's not even funny how many side dudes they'll have. And we pretend like it doesn't happen, but like
how does it benefit the man more?
It doesn't benefit the man at all.
You said
it does.
It benefits the woman more.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. How does it benefit the woman more?
I don't think it does. I think also when you add children to that, and I feel like going back to the question about the household is, yes, you could talk about it from perspective of like man and woman, but then when you bring children into it and then their dynamic and what they grow up seeing and trauma and all of that, it's like your decisions are going to affect those children.
True.
100%. That's my point. Also with men. It's like selfish thinking about, oh, I would love this, I would love this. But children have to be in the house and see their mom or dad having multiple. It's just confusing.
Yeah. No, but polygamy in itself is not a selfish practice. It's for the village.
Yeah.
It's not meant to take care of the
original intention, but not like the modernized way of like how we're trying to like spin it.
But
and
we're
say,
not trying
oh,
to
I'm
modernize
why.
It. We're just trying to see if it fits in modern society. But I think that's where the conversation goes.
It doesn't.
It doesn't because then it gets shifted.
Yeah, because it's like, especially
we try to make it like that's not the agreement.
Okay, exactly, because you want the agreement to only benefit you as a man to be able to have.
But when we signed the contract, you didn't say I'm gonna have a nigga on this side.
If I would have talked about it,
if she has a woman on the side, it's cool.
Hell no, I wouldn't have signed the contract in the first place because
you don't want it to benefit her either.
Exactly,
you don't want it to. Yeah, it can benefit
you. And then, because then, but if the woman do it, that means the woman has to pay cows for the man.
Well, that's
the part that's just the part that's how it works.
And for me, I feel like a lot of times I can be double-minded because obviously if I'm thinking from my Muslim African side, of course that's not okay. The woman, you know, you're in a polygamous relationship, the man gets to have several wives, of course you don't cheat, blah blah blah. But if I am thinking in my American this is BS, then no.
If I'm coming to my modern American mindset,
then no, I'm not going to be sitting here while you get to benefit and enjoy it. And I'm just, you know what I mean? Right. Like, no,
if you didn't have your little thing on the side, back.
I mean, your wife, then I'm going to have my little thing on the side too. Like, what's the problem? Like,
you know what I mean? Little things together. Then why'd you agree for it in the first place?
But then that changes the dynamic of a poly relationship. You want an open relationship.
The only way it'd be fair, the way that we're putting it, like to benefit the woman would have to pay dowry for the man, and we can have multiple men.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that happens. That's the thing.
But they would never let that happen. They would never let that happen.
But they do let it happen. No. But I think it should be limited. It should be limited for women. Like, yo, if you want to have your dude on the side, let it be like one, right?
Right? No, Chris, no.
And then for me.
Yeah, we get limits.
Yeah, get limit. y'all get multiple.
And that's my thing. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, you got two. Yeah, one. You got me and get your the side dude. But let it be one, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to understand that one adds up. So like I said, I have me and my trio, right? That adds up. Right, I only have three of y'all.
Here's my thing.
Back home, you don't know. I'm just saying the math don't math right if you do it like that. So I'm saying, but let me say this, because at the end of the day, I feel like we need to be fair. If a dude wants a plug-in manner or whatever, I can't.
I had polygamous.
I had some wine or whatever. But anyway, if a dude wants a polygamous relationship, you got to let her have hers too, man. Stop trying to act like this is about you, because I'm speaking for an American relationship.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Stop acting like it's just about you, because guess what? She needs hers too, dog.
I think women are better at it. What are we lying about?
Okay, so exactly.
You're lying to yourself and you think your woman ain't getting
a piece
on
I never
the
said
side.
That. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm saying it like this. If I'm doing me, allow your girls to do her.
They've been doing it.
As long as she ain't bringing bullshit at home.
Let me tell you this.
Okay, that's cool.
This whole monogamy thing is bullshit.
I want to hear the contrast of that. Go ahead, Willie. Because Willie, you said, thank God you said American. Because like, that's
what
not
need
African.
From, what
yeah, because
yeah,
African wouldn't allow that.
What does she need from him that I can't provide? Like,
but what does
better
she need
dick.
From you? Oh, sorry. But what does she need from you?
Not that.
That's what I'm saying. It's this one I'm trying to get at, bro. And I understand people do certain things different around the world. Cool. But I say it for a woman right now. I'd rather you do your shit know what I'm saying? Having it in the back of my mind and wonder if, oh, is she doing this, that? But, you know, what is she, I'd rather you, she's doing her. So, I'm going
to
do me.
Willie, what's your counter to that? And, you know, speak from the South Sudanese diaspora perspective. Yeah. Or South Sudanese.
No, from I can speak from both. Yeah. I mean, if it's marriage and I've paid some dowry for you, mm-hmm. No, you're not allowed to have some nigga who didn't pay shit to sneak into your house. Hell no. The hell? Okay. If you wanted him, then you're like, have him pay for your dowry.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it happens all the time. Like, we pretend like
I know this it does happen.
Like, but what about the opposite end when the dude doesn't pay for the dowry?
I'm not saying it doesn't.
That happens to both of them.
But Willie, so what if you then get a second wife? And a third wife is you still think because you pay dowry for all three of them, they should still only be faithful to you?
I wouldn't.
Ooh.
I wouldn't. But I'm speaking as somebody who has
mm-hmm.
like this person has paid so much to have you like if you were not okay with that situation, just say no. Don't say yes. And then part of the contract, you don't announce the fact that you're gonna have a side nigga on the side.
Who cares? Nobody announces they have side niggas, man.
So Willie is saying the part of the agreement is, even if he has 1, 3, 4, 5 wives, the part of the agreement is like, I pay dowry and then you're my wife. But it's not like, you're my wife and you have a side dude.
Right.
So that's what you're saying.
Why is this conversation? Okay.
Because like, I'd rather just be the side dude. I don't pay anything and I get all the benefits.
Okay. You have multiple women though.
As a side nigga who's been a side nigga before, let me tell you something.
I'm sorry, Willie is speaking facts.
Being a Sudanese side nigga is a part of the culture.
Thank you.
Huh? I want to add to
it's a part of the culture.
To
you know how many pseudo side niggas you see?
Go ahead, Janet.
In terms of like, I don't think polygamy, it can work, but I feel like for the most part, I don't think it could work because the essence of it is marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You barely get married right now to one person, let alone multiple.
Okay, we talk about multiple people. We barely get married.
Right. What so,
no.
So, but I do think that if a man comes into a situation, he says, like, for example, like, I want 15 kids. You're not getting 15 kids out of me, mm-hmm. right? But, like, if women are open to having, like, if his approach is, I want 15 kids, I can take care of multiple households, and I want to marry these women, then it might be a different conversation in modern America. Mm-hmm. But I think men aren't approaching it that way, going back to we barely getting married to one person. So we're not even approaching polygamy in a sense of, like, if men want to have multiple kids, they want to, like you said, benefit the community.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, marry these women, take care of these households, and be able to provide that, I don't think that can be successful in modern America.
And I will say that I have seen, like, I have an aunt, for example, and she wasn't able to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so she allowed her husband to marry somebody else so that he can have kids. You know what I mean? Because she was like, they were married for like 10 years, tried. She would come to find out she couldn't, and she was okay with it. And he actually was kind of like, I don't want to marry someone else, but he really wanted kids.
Yeah.
And so he did, but he still very much treats her like, you know, like he really loves her, but he really wanted kids, you know?
Mm.
And in that case, I can kind of see where, you know what I mean? Like where it was kind of okay with the situation. Like she was very hurt about it, but she kind of felt like, oh my God, I love him. I want him to be able to have this. But I don't know. I think it just, you know, and I, like I said, like you said, it's a marriage thing compared to in America where it's just, I do feel like multiple girls and multiple baby mamas, and they just want to be able to
take care of anyone.
Yeah, take care of
anyone. I think it comes down to the man.
Yeah, and it does come down to man, but where I feel like in Africa, it's a lot of things, cultural traditions and stuff where, why they are practicing polygamy to continue on.
Yeah. Personally, I feel like if I am going to have children, I want to be in a two-parent household. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are certain things that I would be open to if there were no children involved that I wouldn't necessarily be open to if there's children involved. Just because I grew up in a two-parent household and that stability and having, like, I know my mom, these are my mom and dad. Like, it's very stable. I wake up every day. It's just these two. I don't have to worry about random people coming or mom got a boy or this is going on.
Right.
So I feel like for me, if I have children, I can't think about what would be fun for me or pleasurable for me, or I'm bored or he's getting on my nerves. Mm-hmm. Like, the children and what's in their best interest would come above whatever is going on between us, because it's going to affect them, and it's confusing and it's traumatizing. Right. And mm-hmm. like, I feel like that's something that we need to consider, is how is it going to affect, even with polygamy, like knowing that your dad has other kids and other families and you only get him part time mm-hmm. or some of the time, and most of the time he's not even fully present there because he's hopping around from household to household. So mm-hmm. he doesn't have time to establish a routine or right. structure within our household because he's constantly gone. So mm-hmm. it's like, what's the point of even like you dropping in and dropping out and dropping? It's confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you might as well just not come at all, because you're like, either you're going right. to be here or you're not.
And that's true. And I would say this, despite everything said, I would rather have a two-person household, because it's hard to deal with the nagging with one partner.
Okay. Oh, now imagine you don't want the
six
trio
or seven.
Yeah,
no. That would be crazy.
No more trio?
No more trio?
No, but it depends on who's in the trio.
Okay. Christine, I want to ask you this. Would you guys, and for the women, would you be open to marrying someone that, let's say, already has one or two wives, but is filthy rich and, you know, like, wants you to be like a second or third wife and wants you to have kids? Would you be open to coming into a situation where that was already the case?
My ego does not want me to be a third wife. I think mm-hmm. this, like, oh, the ego thing. But if I was down bad, honestly, or if I needed some help, depending on my circumstance, it might be beneficial for me to, like, consider that. Yeah. Literally.
How rich are we talking?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Honestly.
Like, you know, high 100 millions.
Yeah, and depending on how where my circumstances are in that time of my life, I may have to consider that. Like, you know, like I may have to.
Right.
And that's a real, like, that's a realistic thing that happens for
in
people,
a lot of
like,
these countries.
Of
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I feel like to answer that, younger me, if I was like in my whole about the bag city girl mm-hmm. mindset, of course, it's like, all right, well, that's a trade-off. Like, my kids will have whatever they want, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, I might not see them as much, but I don't care because, you know, I'm rich. I can do whatever
right,
I want.
Right.
I can, you know, obviously side, whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But now that I'm getting older, I feel like money is not everything. And mm-hmm. I would rather have a husband that has a good career, who's stable, who's going to be there every day, mm-hmm. than have, like, the $100 million guy who mm-hmm. has 2-3 other families. Now that I'm older.
Can I ask you a question, please? Let me ask this question before. I'm sorry, Jenna. Let me ask you this, because, you know, we talk kind of, that's kind of like this perspective of y'all growing up in America, but in y'all's home countries, Sudan,
Guinea,
and so on and so forth. Right? how would y'all go about that type of relationship? If you're not in America, but you're in your home country.
I think it's different because it's different. I feel like a lot of women don't want that either. Like, for example, you said about if you had a girl that you fell in love with as a kid and you wanted to marry her, she probably wanted to marry you too, but she had no choice. Like,
yeah,
she had to marry the 60-year-old.
And I agree, but how would you go about it though?
I mean, I'm very like stubborn and defiant. So I think I would try to go against what the norm is. I'm not marrying a 60-year-old man. I don't care if I'm in America or Uganda, right?
Shout out to my mama.
But I think in terms of like the question, I think they kind of correlate. But I agree with you. Like, if I'm going to marry someone for the money, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to love the person, mm-hmm. right? Like, love is not going to be top priority to me.
Right.
But also, when you add children to that, that's where it changes the dynamic for me. Because it's one thing to, like, be with someone and you benefit and you get to live your life and they go do whatever, cool. But when you add children to that, I think that changes the dynamic. And, like, I am so, like, pro, like, breaking generational curses and just like letting my children have the best life that they can possibly have. And then also giving them the best dad that they can possibly have. So very I'm not true. Sacrificing that for a bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that's out the question. Too, that's so. What I'm saying. I'm like, girl, they're going to be good regardless.
Right.
You're
not struggling. So, girl, we
Sudi also answered Sudi because I asked for the ladies.
I love
Would you be open to a polygamous relationship if you were like the second or third wife, but the man was like a rich man?
In your home country though.
No, it doesn't have to be home country. It could be here or there.
That makes a difference, for real.
Why you're making good
Well, and it was a, because, if he had $100 million.
Being an NBA wife. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? One is you have to do it, and one you don't necessarily.
But first things first, I feel like because we grew up in the Western world, we have more freedom as females compared to the females back home who don't have a voice for themselves to speak up. You know what I'm saying? And they instill fear in us from a young age. So, you know, I have no choice but to marry the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
if you had your choice between a one guy, like two parent household, or being a polygamous relationship with, you know, two, three other wives, but the guy is filthy rich, $100 million, which one would you choose?
Honestly, the monogamy, you know, like you said, I have to be really down bad for me to do that.
last, man.
You hear me? But yeah.
Yeah. We love that. Well, this conversation was amazing, guys. We are right at the time where we got to wrap it up.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much.
I think it's important for us to note that we are speaking from a African diaspora perspective.
Right. Yes. Right. We have to specify that because we've got so much pushback.
Well, he's black.
Well, he's black diaspora. When he was speaking, he did speak for the American.
I'm curious about the whole situation.
No, like
But I think we have to.
I agree with that. That's one of the things that I saw people talking about. But like, this is our experience.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, but also
we're people that like are back from home, born there, but we grew up here as well.
Culture. Yeah, exactly. So, but like, our mindset might differ from the South Sudanese that grew up in South Sudan, lives there till this day. So it's not like we're speaking as a reflection of those people.
Yeah,
back
we don't speak for anybody.
We speak for ourselves and our diaspora.
Tell them, Willie, please.
And I think we're stuck in a weird, not weird place, but like, because we can understand both sides of like the American culture and then also the African culture. So of course we only speak for people like us, or for ourselves, let me say.
Well, thank you guys
can I defend you guys for a second?
Go ahead, please, we need it.
I feel like I feel like in the last episode they were coming for you guys, saying that you guys shortened the men's episode because you guys were being, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Thank you. That wasn't the case.
I was offended. That wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Like, we were running out of time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we gave them a whole new episode. And they still got mad at us.
And we love the men.
We love men.
Let's wrap it up.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We love y'all.
You ready for the countdown?
By the time this comes out, it's already going to be New Year.
But let's do it. Let's do a countdown. Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Thank you so much for watching us these past couple of months, and thank you.
Shout out to our subscribers, our supporters,
our
people
audience.
Who give us like really good critique and feedback to help us be better.
To the panelists,
people who come and be on the show and provide their perspectives.
Yes.
Like, the podcast would be nothing without y'all. And I just hope that you guys have an amazing 2024. Like, may God bring more blessings and prosperity and everything for you guys. And may the podcast continue growing. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Real quick, around the table, give us your handles and we'll close
it up.
We almost forgot. You can't forget.
My handle is Jadora Rugi, JADORERUGUI on Instagram.
And you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube under Janet Akorkin, JANETAKORIKIN.
Instagram, WillieFast_.
You can follow me on Instagram, my young_East_African_gal.
You can't follow me at Indigo Wonderlust, but that's the name whenever I have this outfit on. But my alter ego is Emmanuel_comedy, aka Emmanuel on other websites.
I feel like you'd be spelling your name too fast.
Oh, we know it by heart.
They're gonna put it down there. But I don't care about the handle. I gotta say this, man. You gotta show love to the Ladies of Sosa, because even though y'all get mad at them, they allow us to keep coming back to this platform and saying how we feel.
We love y'all so much.
Show love to them. No matter what, follow them.
They work so hard.
And they work hard, and they keep coming us back. They keep having us back, no matter how y'all feel or what y'all
say about us.
They keep coming us back, for real. They keep having us back. So I just show love to them, man, for real.
Yeah. And I was just joking about the last thing. I love everybody who comments, no matter if you say something negative or positive.
I love engagement.
I love it. So I was just kidding, y'all. I love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.